John Walls reporting with Hudson Mohawk Magazine. In this segment, I will be interviewing Sarah L. Sarah is a facilitator for the Colony Branch of the Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance, or DBSA for short, and is specially trained in mental health peer advocacy. How are you today, Sarah?
I am doing all right today. Thank you for asking.
So I'd like to start off by clarifying, what is a peer advocate and how does it differ from someone in the mental health profession, such as a therapist or a psychiatrist?
So as a peer advocate, I am not a trained mental health professional. I don't have a licensed social worker credential. I haven't taken a psychology or psychiatry degree. But what I have done is taken some specialized training in how to support peers who are specifically other people that are dealing with mental health issues. In Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance, DBSA, we reach out to peers who have experienced mood disorders. And support groups can provide a very different environment than a more clinical environment because everyone that we talk to as part of the support group is someone who has dealt with some of the same issues.
Okay, awesome. So how long have you been a facilitator for the weekly DBSA support groups, and what drives you to be a facilitator for these groups?
I've been facilitating for the support groups for probably just under 4 years now. And I started off as an attendee, as most people do, and we actually needed more volunteers. I've always been a volunteer in my life. I always step up and try to help when I can. And actually, one of the mental health techniques that we use is called DBT, which is short for dialectical behavioral therapy. And one of the skills that that teaches us is that contributing and giving back to your community can be a great way to actually help improve your own mental health. So for me, being someone who is giving service to my community and helping other people helps my own mental health and helps me feel like I have a purpose and that I am doing something good in this world.
Has being a support group facilitator changed your perspective on mental health in any way? If so, how?
I think it has changed my perspective a little bit. I've dealt with mental health struggles for a long time in my life, probably since about middle school, if not earlier. And when I grew up, I was frequently exposed to the idea of people with mental health issues were just not trying hard enough. And that if you could just snap out of it, you'd be a lot better off. The more I've worked with, especially a peer support group, the more I'm able to not see it as a personal failing. Because especially the fact that I'm able to give so much compassion and understanding to other people makes it easier to reflect some of that back onto myself. And it's not a personal failing. It is something that affects more than 1 in 5 people in America. It was a statistic that was put out by NAMI, which is a national mental illness nonprofit organization, and that 1 in 5 Americans either are dealing with or have dealt with mental health disorders in their lifetime. And that's a very high statistic that only got higher during pandemic. So being able to realize this is actually an aspect of shared humanity, that other people have been there and it's not a personal failure, has been something that's really helpful for my own mental health.
You touched on it a little bit, and that was going to be my next question, actually. The last few years have been an unprecedented time for the world. Among the reasons for this is the global pandemic. So I'm wondering, in what ways have you noticed the pandemic's impact on people's mental health?
I think it's made it both easier and harder for people to address their mental health. I know that a lot of people who are very introverted have actually quite enjoyed not having to discharge their batteries by spending so much time out in the world with other people. A lot of people who are very extroverted have had a very hard time not being able to see other people. And specifically talking about support groups and about the support that's available, the internet both brings us together and kind of keeps us at arm's length from a lot of people. It's been great in giving us the opportunity to reach out to people that might not be able to attend in-person meetings. Maybe they live 2 hours away. Maybe they're severely afraid of going outside. There's a lot of accessibility issues that have been mitigated by going to a more virtual platform for a lot of these support groups. But it also has turned some people off to the idea. Because in-person support groups feel more close-knit. They can feel a little bit more connection between people. And sometimes, especially because a lot of these groups rely on confidentiality, it can make people feel a lot more comfortable in an in-person setting where you can more easily see other people and their facial expressions are a little clearer and you have a better sense of who this person is that you're revealing part of yourself to. But I think that it's a double-edged sword. It has also, like I said, given us a lot of accessibility that we wouldn't have had otherwise.
What advice would you give to someone who is struggling with their mental health but is having trouble opening up about it or seeking help?
I would first of all say you're not alone. There's always, always someone who's been where you are. Even if they're not in your exact situation, there are people who can empathize with how you feel. And you should seek whatever help you're ready to seek. For some people, that is what we would term talk therapy or psychotherapy. You know, just talking to a trained professional to help you examine what's going on in your life. There's even different types of talk therapy. There's some that are focused on teaching you skills to help you apply meditation or mindfulness techniques or apply different frameworks of thinking. And there's others that are literally just like talking to a friend. But not everybody's ready for that. So even if it's just going onto a search engine and typing in help for depression and reading some articles, that can be where you're at right now, and that's fine. But I think it's important for people to realize you're not alone.
My last question for you is, do you have any suggestions for someone like me who wants to start or is just getting into advocacy?
My biggest suggestion for people who want to be better mental health advocates and help destigmatize mental illness is to figure out, first of all, what you're comfortable with. Because everybody has a portion of their story that they're willing to tell. Sometimes it's your whole story. Sometimes it's not. But figuring out what you're comfortable with sharing is always, for me, the most important step that any new advocate has to choose. Because if you overshare and then feel vulnerable, more vulnerable than you want to, and negatively impact your own mental health, that's obviously not the goal. So figure out where you're comfortable and how much of your story you want to share. And then even if the amount you want to share is zero, there are still ways that you can help. You can maybe reshare somebody's fundraiser for American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, for NAMI, for Depression Bipolar Support Alliance. Maybe you can send a friend who's struggling an article that you read that was really interesting, or a funny animal gift to help them to help them get out of a blue spot. Yeah, so there's ways to be involved and to be an advocate, and some of them just involve listening, even if you're not ready to share your story.
This concludes my interview with Sarah. Until next time, John Walsh with Hudson Mohawk Magazine, signing off.